Hi, everyone. Welcome to the 18 Summer Show. We are your hosts, Jim
and Jamie Shields. We're here to help you bring family back.
In the last decade, we've helped thousands of families create the family life that you have always wanted.
We give you simple solutions on how you can ignite your family life and succeed in both business and at home.
And please remember, time is of the essence. You only have 18 summers to truly connect with your children.
So let us help you make the most of it.
18 Summers Tribe, we're so excited to have you here today for joining us with Glenn Marsden. Thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Glenn's a friend that comes to us through our other friend, Rob Mack, who's an amazing man. And so I knew that he would connect us with another incredible human, bringing up just such a beautiful passion project and perfectly perfect, dealing with mental health and just normalizing it and bringing it into our world and awareness. Thank you for your work.
Thank you. And thank you for yours. And when Rob aligned us and I saw what your message was, especially towards families, I mean, the whole premise behind the campaign, as I like to say, is pretty much to everybody joining Perfectly Perfect and some of the world's most influential figures to create a legacy that surpasses time for our future generation, our kids. So when I read what you guys were about and I was told, I was like, total synergy, love what you do. So straight away, I was like, yes.
Our core values totally align. Thank you. Super exciting to meet up with someone with such passion as you are, going from being just an incredible photographer to using that skill and that passion to then bring awareness to mental health. Now, when we talk about mental health, where do you feel the normalization begins? Is it out in the big world with media and society? Is it in the quiet spaces of your home? You know, when you talk about normalizing mental health, what is the first breeding ground for change?
See, for me personally, I would always say and speak about it in terms of changing the narrative around it. So essentially, that would start from the home and move outwards. Now, I know we were touching upon it a little bit earlier. I always like to say, as much as we can teach our children, we really need to reflect that on ourselves as well and really go inside and look at our inner child and see what kind of emotions we've suppressed that has really taught us or took us to a place that we have either experienced mental health struggles ourselves, and we might put this onto our children. However, if we look at it by society's standard, I also think through the use of visual mediums and media in general, we can really draw attention to a mass scale, which is what I've tried to do with, I could say, my passion project that has now gone international, which I'm very fortunate about. However, the way that I've done it is towards creating a legacy for our children. And what do we love to do with our children? We like to read them stories. The oldest form of communication is storytelling. So all I've done is literally broke it down towards our children and gone visual imagery through photography or cartoons or film or music, whether that reflects to a child making stories up in their head or to a grown-up who knows that they listen to a piece of music, it takes them to a certain space, or a film, we connect. So in a sense, I would say it starts from home. We can work on ourselves, changing the dialogue, at the same time really implementing and imprinting a good set of standards for our kids. At the same time, society, by society standards, worldwide, like 10 to 20% of adolescents experience mental disorders, half of mental illness. They begin like at 14 plus. So it's getting younger and younger. So as I say, in essence, we can combine both of those at home and by society standards, I believe.
I love that you take it from kind of what I would call the micro to the macro. You know, you can really sow those seeds at home, but it is such a big picture, and that the impact, you know, like you had this idea, but you take it, you know, to other influencers and bigger people that can shout that message even farther and really make a big difference. Now, do you feel that we've gotten into this space of, I don't want to say of not normalized mental health, but do you feel like there's been any challenges that greater media has impacted in negatively? You know, we're talking about impacting it powerfully. Do you think that there's anything to be mindful or aware of, you know, for our families? You know, you talk about it starts at home, it starts within you, and yet we're all on social media a lot, you know, more than we probably should be.
And the funny thing is, it goes back to the whole saying on sentiment of we are so in a world communicated by social media more than ever. However, we are so disconnected and isolated than ever. And COVID's showing us that as well, especially when people are isolated at home and we really need that community. And again, with the campaign, I built a community so people just feel a part of a tribe that they can just take a load off their shoulder. Now, when I talk about that and I talk about how the media can portray things, what I think one negative, in my opinion, and how I feel, and I always say nobody can take away anybody's feelings for things. I like to say I'm not a professional. I've worked with clinical psychologists. I've also got qualified now in mental health diplomas and everything like this. But what I would say is the negative impact by media, not highlighting, but showing mental health in a kind of pretty way. They sugarcoat it a lot in campaigns. And I know there's policies and legislations, and we have to be careful things don't trigger people. But when things resonate, when we see people of influence, and some people would say, why have you used influential public figures? Now, our kids watch TV. We also watch TV. We ultimately look at movie stars. We look at people in corporate, multi-million dollar companies and think, wow, they can never experience this. However, remove that, it's going to make a bigger impact and bring us all to a level of commonality like we see with COVID. Like, there's no disparity between COVID and mental health. We are all one. And I suppose for me creating this, I had a background in the health and fitness sector. I never saw a professional title. So I always took that out with me and just reached out to the biggest names. And you've seen on the campaign who I've managed somehow to reach. And I've just spoken to them and showed my sincerity and passion. I actually went through adversity myself a few years ago through body dysmorphia. So I went to my dark space 2 years ago when the campaign, the whole start of it, the notion was because I lost a friend to suicide, sadly. And one of the things through social media, which you touched on, I wanted to disrupt social media because he had highlight reels. We thought he had the ultimate career, family. And when I saw it on social media, my demise, as I said, from body dysmorphia, I started comparing myself, like in the industry, but also through Instagram, visuals of these perfect bodies. So I went in a bad place, got myself through it with cognitive behavioral therapy. And I suppose that's where I became more empathetic. So that passion of going through it and helping others to then 2 years being that adversely affected by seeing somebody that had taken their life and on a external looked like they were living ultimate, internally must have been struggling. I was like, enough is enough. We need to show the reality of what it can look like. And let's not just go down the route of men's mental health, women's mental health. Let's encompass it because that segregates people as well. And I think there's so many advocates, there's so many organizations, and I take my hat off. I think they're amazing. I just wanted to try something completely different through storytelling and connecting people.
And I think through storytelling, people can really identify better. They see themselves in these stories. You know, that's why we tell stories to children, you know, and they want to then dress up, they want to then reenact it so they can process it and really own it. And so I think that it's incredibly beautiful, the storytelling and what you're doing and changing that narrative. And also through pictures, you know, just like you said, just like children looking through a book, when you see another person crying or another person struggling, it elicits something. You're like, wow, I wonder what they were thinking. Or, oh, I remember when I like that. Wow, that's that ugly cry that I do sometimes. Yeah. And it's just really powerful to normalize emotion in general. You know, I think that we see a lot of anger currently, but we don't see a whole lot of sadness or despair or struggle, right? You know, people are really quick to say, I'm super angry, but people aren't really quick to say, hey, I'm having a hard time.
Yeah. And that's the thing with social media, the way that it is at the minute, this whole highlight reel and this perception. But behind the scenes, a lot of people are struggling. So in a roundabout way, I'm very fortunate for this to have been picked up by networks. And there's a lot of people who have seen it and gone, you've just kind of created something where people feel they can just open up to you, which I'm very thankful for because I don't class myself as some kind of guru that's like, just talk to me. I just really am empathetic and I've always loved listening to people's stories. And I don't care whatever profession you are, like we're human and that is what we've got in common. And when it comes to storytelling, I've started actually now studying as well neuroscience. Love the brain. It actually elicits a part of the brain with storytelling that actually does bring a new notion within us where we do resonate. There's always judgment in humans, whether something's good or bad. However, if we get to a state of being more mindful, if we haven't walked in somebody else's shoes, how do we know before we make prejudgment on that person? Let's take it back, be mindful, and really get to a place of understanding. That's the only way we can move forward, I believe, towards our children, because they pick up on everything.
Absolutely. When I hear you say, you know, it's not right or wrong. Feelings aren't right or wrong. They're kind of neutral. You own them and they are. And that's one thing that's super beautiful. You and I were talking about our daughters, and my daughter owns every emotion. And she rocks them. And it sounds like your daughter does too. You know, like if she just wants to be fire today, she's going to be fire today. And if she wants to be sweet and innocent, 5 minutes later, she's going to be that. And she's not going to say, sorry, I was opinionated a few minutes ago. She's going to be like, that's right, getting it done, you know?
But I think that's where we learn a lot from our children, but we lose it along the way. So I always say to people, as much as we can impart wisdom and teach our children, we just need to sit back sometimes and just see what we can learn from our children, because this whole perception game that people play when it goes into the business world, marketing, whatever you look at, this whole notion of I've got to be seen to be strong, I've got to, and that comes down to fathers as well. We've got to be seen as this masculinity. And it's like vulnerability is a strength. I am fortunate enough to know some very successful people. And one commonality I've seen is that they've gone through adversity and they own it. They've stepped into their truth. And it doesn't make people less successful. So this whole, again, with the media kind of thing, when they shy away from talking about it sometimes and certain industries, it might affect your career if you show a sign of weakness. Hey, look at this person who is like killing it in their game, or look at this person and they've gone to the depth of despair and they've still managed to put one of the greatest sayings I always heard. And it was from Blaine Barlett. He was talking about it the other day, a successful businessman. And he said, the lights come through the cracks.
That's beautiful.
I love that. It's so true.
Reminds me of wabi-sabi. Isn't that what it's called? The Japanese art of like filling the broken pottery with gold.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons behind the whole premise of the name, Imperfectly Perfect. Like, own your flaws.
You mentioned earlier about parenting yourself. So we're talking, you know, parenting our children and learning from them. The power of parenting yourself. I mean, do you have any great wisdom on how do you know where you need to parent yourself?
But yeah, that in terms of working on yourself, I suppose, like I always say, attesting to the name of the campaign and why I said it imperfectly perfect, I don't think there's a right or wrong. Like sometimes I believe you get to a place where you have had struggle and it's a lesson that we learn. And that's when we suddenly start, hopefully everybody can, but looking inwards. Because the more we project outwards, whether that be to kids, whether that to be the other people, because we're feeling hurt and we're struggling ourselves, the only person we're really hurting is internally. So I always say, and I'm very fortunate now to coach people as well, but in terms of you really are only able to be the best version of yourself when you go inwards. When it comes to people asking me, have you found your purpose? And people think, oh, you look like you've got it all together. And I'm like, look at my behind the scenes. Like, I would never claim to have it all together. And when it comes to purpose, one of my good friends once put it differently to me. I thought towards a career, mine is now being of service to others. I absolutely love it. However, it was put to me, think about your purpose as learning about yourself.
Wow.
We're constantly evolving. We're constantly growing. So stop trying to put it towards a job or a profession and go, oh, I found my purpose. Your purpose is ongoing. And that's why people always say, never put your happiness on an outcome. Enjoy the process, but learning about you. And that's the only way we can really move forward and reflect that onto our kids and teach them, because we've taught ourselves.
So that's why I guess when you are tapping into that part, and I say you as a general term, like as we are tapping into our purpose, it's so fulfilling because we are like reaching the height of learning about ourselves. I've really never thought about it that way.
Yeah, no, I hadn't. And when I heard it, I saw your face then, like I pick up on energy now and it's like, boom, it's like just something. I'm just like, the more I've learned and people look at my socials, whatever I do and say, oh, you look so successful, you're doing this. And I'm like, you know what? Success is perceived so different by so many people. Success is growth.
Yeah.
Financial assets, take everything. To me, success is making sure my family are happy, so I can provide for them. Everything looks so different. And again, it is a testing to social media. We're so connected by it, but it puts us all in this perpetual cycle of thinking everyone else's life is better. When I'll tell you quickly that I have worked with people that don't have much, and then I've worked with people who have got multi-million dollar companies. And one of the things that I said with a couple of my friends who run these companies, I was like, even myself pulled myself up on it at the beginning of the campaign. And I was like, you must have a great life. And they was like, Glenn, let me tell you, if you're running a multi-million dollar company, what comes with that is $1 million problems. Do you want to swap? Sometimes I look at people who have just got a 9-to-5 and think, oh, if I could go back to those days, vice versa. So we're all in this cycle of thinking that everybody's life is better. Whereas if we turn it back and reflect on ourselves, work on our inner child, we can just find a place of better happiness and a reflection on our children to hopefully change the narrative around mental health. Because that's where it stems from, a lot of internal dialogue from external sources and what we tell ourselves. We suppress it, buries, and it comes out in anger and emotion.
And when you say, you know, that we have these reactions, or like you're saying, you know, this response, the anger and these types of feelings, do you think that, you know, going back to when I said, how would we know where to begin in parenting ourselves? Do you think those moments or would be a good indicator? Like, oh, that really rang my bell. That must be something I need to pay attention to.
I think with that, a lot of it comes down to self-awareness as well, though. Some people don't have, and I won't say don't have the ability, but when you're in those heated moments, you just push everyone away. If you can get to a place, or if somebody notices that in you and pulls you up on it, and you can reflect on it then, and at the same time, get help for it. Because I always say, and the reason why I'm learning more about the brain, and what I want to do is look at preliminary measures. So now I'm tapping in and working with neuroscientists and more in terms of holistic therapists, spiritual therapists, as well as medical professionals as well, just for around a general view, because everything comes together. So how can we really best equip people who may not be mindful to become it? Where does something tick in the brain through our neuro response to actually get us to that point? And what can we try through preliminary measures before it gets to a place of, like I said, by the age of 14, we're seeing mental health struggles increase in kids. And I even heard a stat that even as age of 6 now, anxiety in children, it's just growing. And I think through social media and how it is, like my children, I've got one Lincoln who's age 8, and he sees these YouTubers, his time on there. And because of the campaign, I journal with him, he does his gratitude. So I'm imparting all that onto him. But I also reached out, funnily enough, I reached out to some of these YouTubers. And I said, I want you on my podcast because I want you to dispel that it is everything that it seems. Because you've got young, impressionable kids watching it going, I don't need to go to university, I'll be a YouTuber. Whereas behind the scenes, whether that person, you don't know the circumstances, if his parents have money to be able to pay for marketing, branding, like YouTube, we all know you've built your YouTube, your business. It's not like you're going to instantaneously become this viral hit, maybe 1% out of, and that's what I try and instill in my kid. I'm like, I want you to learn from these people that you admire and you look up to, that behind the scenes, they've put a lot of work in, and that sometimes through highlight reels doesn't show.
Yeah, or it doesn't show that they have all of this and yet they're alone every moment of the day as they create it all, that that's the only thing they have time to do, that they have bankrupt everything else in their life emotionally to just have a good showing.
Yeah, I am liking that there's a lot more influential public figures coming forward that we would ultimately say, wow, you've done this film, you've done this. And when I speak to a lot of them on the podcast and they tell me stuff, it's showing that vulnerability because we see all this, but people will look at a celebrity and say, oh, well, they've got this, this, and this. And the thing that I've come to realize is if you're not on a TV show and you're not in demand, then the money dries up And then basically your agent drops you and then your publicist drops you. You can't get to events. You don't get publicity. So think of that. And again, it's through the art of storytelling. If you come to the campaign and you see somebody you recognize and go, oh, wow, I can feel that. Read it. Go to the podcast. Hear their story. Find out about the workshops. And that's where we team up with a professional who can deliver resources. And
you mentioned that through your own challenges, you developed a greater empathy for what others may be experiencing. Do you think empathy is something that you can teach someone? Is empathy, how do you cultivate empathy in your children or in a spouse, you know, as we all find ourselves in these family dynamics?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's very individualized. And I'm not here to say I'm a professional in knowing that, but from personal experience, I would say it's something that a lot of the times you can put onto your children to learn being empathetic and really teach them resources and ways. And I always like to say to my child, like if he sees a kid who's a new child or something and they're on their own, I question him and I say, oh, you invite that person, how would you feel if you were stood there? And just question like that. So we have open dialogue. That's one thing that I really wanted to like talk about their dreams, talk about what they're grateful for. Like Leighton's 2-year-old, she's a little young. However, she watches Lincoln do it. Lincoln will sit there each day with his gratitude journal and we kind of do it as a family dynamic. So my wife sits there and does it. He only does 3. But with my little daughter, I actually saw a viral video on YouTube where this father with his daughter stood in front of the mirror and said what they're grateful for. And now I do that. So it instills that practice. And I suppose that empathetic side comes because you can show feelings, you can show emotions. And I don't want them to hide that. So we talk about their day. So I do think you can teach it, but I think it does start with sometimes you going through and understanding what being empathetic is yourself. And I think it comes from personal experience as well.
And I love that you mentioned like letting them see you, that transparency, you know, and having transparency and vulnerability and sharing. You know, I think that, like you said, asking some really good questions. How would you feel if you were the new child? How would you feel if you didn't have a new backpack on the first day of school? How would you feel if your daddy wasn't there anymore? You know, such as that, I think that that's a really great point to prompt, you know, anybody listening just to really think about, even for yourself, you know, when you're looking at someone else on social media and you think it looks so great, even Jim and I have had to look and go, yeah, I don't want to be famous. You know, like we really want to make an impact and we want to be influential, but we don't want to be influencers. If that makes any sense.
That resonates with me big time. I always say this. I'm like, there's a difference between an influencer and an influential person. And yeah. I'm with you in this. You can be on social media, you can promote something and call yourself an influencer, but how many people are you actually impacting other than being a brand representative? Whereas if you're making a change, like you'll go to my campaign. It was funny because I was looking at your stuff as well. We all do very similar things in that people will know our names. You'll see our faces here and there, but we focus on other people and we focus on the cause. That is one thing throughout my whole thing and how big it's got. Everyone, a lot of people have said, you need to push yourself to the front. I'm like, no, I don't. It's not about me. It never will be about me. My legacy would be to pass on to my children. If I passed away, I'd rather be my name be known for doing something good than who I am. And I believe that's why it's continued flourishing as well.
That's amazing.
It's forefront. And that's what I saw from your guys' stuff as well. I was looking through your pages and I was like, they're hardly on their page, neither. Like you're there at the monumental points, but it's always other people. And I love it when people focus on because it really shows, again, that empathetic side. You listen to people, but you're also pushing other people to the forefront because you're really about the mission and about empowering others to know, hey, we're all in this together.
We all have so much wisdom. That's what's so beautiful is like, if you have a family, you've probably learned a lesson. You know, if you're human and you have some feelings, you probably have something to share.
Yeah. I think too many people, and I did at the beginning when I was kind of, you know, when you're in the notion where you're thinking, I need a mentor.
Oh, yes.
These ultimate like business mentors or successful mentors. And you actually realize on your journey when you've been through adversity, when you've been through that, and somebody's spoken, a friend or somebody, you've got mentors in every part of your life. You just don't realize it. Something so profound. When you said to me, I take notes because you'll be full of wisdom. I'm like, really? We learn from each other. And that's just part of the journey, I suppose.
It is. And I will say, when I followed you, I started following you months ago when Rob first told me your name. And I guess I was just following your photography page, because for the longest time, you would show up in my feed as you were just this buff guy. Like somehow that was all of the pictures I saw, but those are your clients that you're. And so I actually, when I stumbled upon the other, and I thought, you know, as I started thinking about our time together and really digging into you, and I thought, this is so funny. It took me a minute to find you. And I thought the same thing. I'm like, this is amazing. I spent a couple of weeks thinking that, you know, you were the athletic model or what, and I'm like, I have no idea, you know? So it was just really incredible. Like you said, just that mission was out there. And what I first came across to you was the photography and the purpose in that, you know, which is incredible in itself, the eye that you have.
Thank you. It's just storytelling through photography as well. And I've never taken it full time. It's always been a passion. But I think if you can listen to somebody, you can pick up on that essence. And I believe it also comes when you go through adversity, you're probably more intuitive and you pick up on people's energy as well. And that's where me and Rob connected. Like, open to Rob. I can't speak highly enough of that guy, but for somebody to give so much of himself to everybody because he's been through something so, well, he's been through his own adversity, which he speaks about often. I just think, yeah, you look at the world in different eyes when you realize when you've lost somebody, like I lost somebody and then been through my own, and you realize what's important. And you're like, materialistic stuff, money comes and goes. It's like those kids that you've got running around your house, my kids, those are like, what are we teaching them if we're constantly trying to go towards, like, and I'll tell you something, I'll be honest, the more people in entertainment that I know and I see that industry, I'm like, keep me away from it. Why people want to be famous, I'm like, it's, oh, you've got to have a strong backbone and support network.
Yeah, it's like, make me famous at home. That's all I want.
Exactly. Put me on a, no.
Be excited when I show up at home. That's yes, all that exactly, matters. Exactly. So our final question that we always ask is 75-year-old self, what would much older, still a good head of hair, Glenn, tell you about what you're experiencing now, or, you know, that maybe a fear that he would quell for you or an encouragement that he may give you?
They would probably say, just surrender. Mm. Just speak your truth. Because we grow up in a world where we are taught by other people's insecurities, external things that we're fed in from the media, social media, step into your truth. Like, there is only one you. We can't be a carbon copy of someone else. You're going to experience adversity. Embrace it. Know it's part of a life's lesson. And you're on a journey to something far greater than yourself by helping other people. And just know that your purpose is not a career. It's finding out about yourself.
So beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to end with that because that felt good. And I will tell you another just huge, we were raised by others' insecurity. Like, wow, that is like, oh, that's another moment that I'm just going to have to sit with for a minute. Like, I feel like that is worth repeating. You said we have grown up with being raised by others' insecurity.
If we don't change that, we need to think of the insecurities of other people that have put suppressed emotions onto us and why we act out in a certain way. And that's not judgment, but that is really going in on ourselves to find out and work with people who know how to bring that out of you to reflect and be a better person as a father or a mother. Because do we want to inflict our insecurities that we've been brought up with onto our future generations? I don't.
No, that's powerful. So how can our listeners learn more about you and about your project and all the awareness that you're bringing into our world?
They can go to all our socials at Imperfectly Perfect Campaign, or they can go to the official website at imperfectlyperfectcampaign.org.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
You are welcome. Thank you for having me.